Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We're looking at the life of David during the darkest days and lowest days of his life. A fit of despair, the duration of discouragement. But finally, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David reaches the point that he encourages himself in the Lord, and he says, "All of our families have been carried away captive by the Amalekites, and Lord, shall we go after them? Can we recover all?" And the man of God seeks the will of God, and the answer comes back, "Yes, you can recover all." And it says then in verse 11, "And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. He was divinely spared. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, Well, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Boy, right away, David and his 600 men knew this man was with the men who took our families. "And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, 24 hours, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all, and the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives," and it goes on to say that every one of the families were recovered. Now, let's talk about how God was leading him after he got out of the fit of depression, after he finally came back to God, after 16 months of not even worshiping the Lord, no prayer time, no offering, no altar. How does God lead him after he gets out of that? Well, we see, first of all, he had to get back to the point that he was ready to get back into service. And it could be that you say, "Well, Pastor Greg, you know, that may be easy for others, but I am so discouraged, I'm so defeated, and I've served the Lord, and it hasn't worked out for me, and I haven't been able to do what I want," regardless of how you feel. You've got to get back into service. You've got to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do now?" See, all the circumstances that were surrounding this Egyptian servant told us that God had him there. Had David and his men not gotten back into service and not chased after them, they never would have found him. But God made an Egyptian sick. His master then left him to die. God moved David's men to spare his life when they had every reason to believe that he'd taken part in the burning of Ziklag because he said he did. It's amazing to me that somebody didn't just up and lop his head off when they heard that he had been part of the burning party. But God spared him. In fact, God moved David to show him kindness, feeding him, and God quickly revived him. And then God moving him to agree to help them. See, this is a beautiful picture, a type of the helpless sinner who meets a Savior. A helpless sinner who meets a Savior. Here's this Egyptian, and he has everything to lose. He's about to die. What a picture of the lost sinner who has nothing to give him hope. And just like this Egyptian, the Bible says he fell sick. It's kind of like the disease of sin, so to speak. And his plight, he was left to die after he ceased to be useful to his master. It's kind of like the devil throws away everything that he's used and then casts them aside. But notice his deliverance. He was brought to David. You know, he was too weak to come on his own. Did you get that? And that's exactly the way we are. When we come to the Lord, we're too weak to come on our own. The Holy Spirit of God has to bring us to the Lord. And then we see his deliverer. Of course, David is a type of Christ. He's showing compassion for this young man that doesn't deserve anything. He was part of the burning party. But his deliverer, a type of Christ, showed compassion. Then notice his nourishment. They fed and watered him. See, no one who ever came to Christ went away empty. My precious friend, it could be that you feel like you can identify with this Egyptian. Yeah, man, I'm about to die. Boy, everything's falling apart. This is not the way I expected my life to come to an end. You have to come to the point that you're willing to say, like the Egyptian, listen, I can tell you who I am, and I can tell you what my nature is, and I can tell you I need help. That's exactly what God is waiting to hear you say. But notice his desire for assurance. He said, if I direct you to this company, will you assure me that, number one, you won't kill me, and secondly, you won't give me back to my old master? Isn't that exactly the assurance that we get when we come to Christ? Lord, don't kill me because of my sins. And please don't put me back under the control of my old master. I am so thankful that when you come to Christ, you are released from your old master, Satan himself. And the old domination to sin is broken. And what an assurance David gave him. He said, you have my assurance. And then notice his gratitude. His gratitude. He was now devoted to the interests of David. My precious friend, when you get saved, you become devoted to the interests of the one who saved you, Jesus Christ. We want to serve him and forward his cause because of what he's done for us. So my message then is, let your discouragement duration bring you to the Savior. Bring you to the Savior today. And after the victory was all done, you know what happened? These men who fought for 24 hours and were able to bring everything back, they brought all the women back and all the children back and all of the possessions back that had been carried away as spoil. And the Bible tells us in verses 20 to 31 that there was an important principle that was established. There were 200 men that were so faint, so weak, so just exhausted, they could not go with the other 400 to get the wives and children and all the spoil back. But David said, those who stayed by the stuff, those who protected everything that we have, they will reap just as much bounty, just as much loot as the guys that went and fought in the battle. Now here's the principle. For those who have stayed by the stuff, their attitude and their desire was rewarded. Rewarded. In other words, missionaries and sending churches all receive from the victories on the field. Whether you're a missionary on the front lines or you are part of the sending church and you're giving money into Faith Promise and you're sending folks to spread the gospel, you're staying by the stuff. You're holding the ropes, as it were, so that God's work can be accomplished. And then the second principle is, share with others who are less fortunate. Share with others who are less fortunate. The Bible tells us that after the battle was won, they had all of this spoil, not just the spoil that they had taken from their own city of Ziklag, but all the spoil that the Amalekites had taken from all of their conquests. So you know what David did with it? The Bible tells us at the end of chapter 30 that he sent it to the elders of Israel. The Bible says that David came, verse 26, from Ziklag, and he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. See, he had no clue that they were going to be looking for a king. He didn't know King Saul had been killed. He wasn't doing this to get in good with the elders of Israel and the elders of Judah. But you can see the heart of generosity, wanting to be a blessing to other people. And that opened the door for the men to say, we need a king. And look what David has done. He has sent us of the spoil of one of his battles. He was able to defeat the Amalekites. We weren't able to defeat the Philistines. We need a man like that. We need a man like that. Because you see, he was so close to the time where they were going to be looking for another king, but he had no clue. You see, you may be so close to a great opportunity, But Satan wants you to quit. He tempts you to just kind of throw in the towel and say, listen, you've been waiting for God to work. You've been waiting for someone to come along. You've been waiting for this new opportunity. You've been waiting. You've been waiting. You've been waiting. It's never going to happen. That's exactly the way the devil speaks to God's children. My precious friend, God wants you to go from sorrow to service, from sorrow to service. When you see the secret work of God, the secret work of God, and maybe even the convicting work of God, of being away from God, walking away from God and God's people and God's church and even the Word of God, maybe the convicting work of God is what He's trying to accomplish in your life. After that comes the cleansing work of God, where your heart begins to be soft again to the voice of God, the will of God, and the people of God. And then you're able to see the leading hand of God. What an awesome way it is to just see God open doors and be a blessing and lead you in a way that you never thought would be possible. Now, where are you in this process? Will you throw yourself in the mercy of God? Remember the statement, when the intensity of the battle can't break you, the duration often can. Has the duration of discouragement robbed you of your joy? Has it robbed you of your fellowship, just like it did with David? Has it robbed you of your service for the Savior? That's exactly what the duration of discouragement wants to do. But God wants you to decide today to wait patiently on the Lord and trust also in Him. Maybe slip to your knees, if at all possible, right now, or just in an attitude of prayer wherever you are, and just simply say, Lord, I need to dedicate my life afresh and anew so that the duration of discouragement will lead to a duration dedication where you're able to say, Lord, You have led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. And I'll tell the saints and angels, as I lay my burdens down, Jesus led me all the way. My friend, when you're going through the fit of despair, Jesus is leading you. He's wanting to teach you to trust Him. When you mess up, when you give up, never does God give up on you. He's always there, all the time, waiting for you to turn back to Him, waiting for you to call upon Him, because wonderful things are planned for you as you respond to God. So do so today. Make this a fantastic day.